asses, cause this here's the wildest ride in the wilderness.
The wheels may be needing a little work.
Dead men tell no tales.
Oh, look at those people.
Here for the big race, huh? It's gonna be fun.
To all who come to this happy place, welcome.
What's up, guys, and welcome to another interview episode. We are here with everyone's favorite Disney father-daughter duo, Troy and Mimi from Disney Assembled. Guys, how the heck are you doing?
We're good. We're doing pretty good.
Doing really well.
Tired, but it's fine.
Yeah, doing well. Thanks for having us. We're really excited to be here.
Oh, yeah.
Now, guys, we are so excited to have you guys on. You guys have a very unique podcast that I don't know if there are any other father-daughter Disney podcasts.
Not that I've seen.
And I mean, really, like, tell us a little bit about it. Whose idea was it to start this podcast?
So, okay, it was mostly Papa, but if we said this a little while ago, it was just about taking conversations that we were already having while we were listening to other podcasters and just recording it. And so it was kind of like a mutual decision, I guess. Like, we kind of were like, hey, do you want to like start a podcast like towards each other? But then Papa kind of like pushed the issue a little bit more.
Right. Yeah. It was, so we started up a little over a year ago, right? During our stay home, everybody went home for the pandemic, and Mimi's one of two kids in the house. So everybody was home. I was home. I worked at a school, so I was working out of the house as well. My wife's working out of the house. So we were just sitting around, and one of the things that's become really important to me is making sure that my relationship with Mimi continues to have some substance to it. I know for a lot of dads who have teenage daughters, sometimes it can be awkward or difficult to keep that relationship, going and have something in common to talk about. And one thing that, Mimi and I both have in common is we both really, really love Disney, almost everything. I mean, there are things that she likes more than I do, but certainly we had that as a common, interest in our lives. And again, we were just sitting around during the pandemic, and I said, hey, we've listened to a couple of podcasts, that sounds like fun. Do you want to see what it's like to, record us talking about Disney? And she said, yeah. So literally that's how it started. It was really just me wanting to stay relevant and carving out time every week to spend directly with Mimi and giving her my full attention. And again, just about bringing a little joy to other people, right? We thought, well, if our conversation makes somebody happy and makes them smile a little bit each day, then it was worth it. So that was sort of the beginning of the whole thing.
That's awesome. Yeah. And I mean, you guys, your following is growing. So I just want to say congratulations on that. And I do think you guys are bringing smiles to people's faces. I mean, I know I look forward to listening to your podcast. You guys have some really interesting and fun topics. What are some highlight episodes that you guys have recorded in this past year that you guys have been a podcast?
What do you think?
I don't know. I think the acquisition episode about Lucasfilm versus Marvel, I think that was an interesting episode. I wish we could have done it further into our experience, I guess, because like it wasn't early, but it was like in the 20s, and I don't think quite understood what we were doing. Like, we were still recording in my bedroom, and so that's like transition from my bedroom to the guest room is kind of like where I think things start becoming better for us. Like it's sort of like a baseline, and now it's the trajectory is up. So I think that episode was really interesting. It was very logical and less about like the fun aspect of Disney, which I know is not like,
yeah, it was one of the ones we did the most research for.
Yeah.
And we don't do a lot of research.
And like, I know that the fun episodes are obviously like the more interesting ones to listen to, but that was like, I don't know, that topic in general, just like, not excited me, but I thought it was interesting and fun. Yeah,
that one was fun. One that stands out to me, in addition to one we did last week, which when I came to her with last week's episode, for people who listen to this that don't listen to us or didn't listen to it, I came home one day and I work at an elementary school, and my son's 12. And so we get a lot of 12-year-old third grade humor. And I came home and I said, what if, a Disney character's, I wonder how they smell, like if they lived in real life. And so that was really the episode last week we did was, sometimes Disney stinks, which I think some people don't understand what we were talking about. We weren't down on Disney. It was, you know, sometimes if these characters jumped out of the screen, they would smell really, really bad. And we just decided to talk about that, right? Which was fun. But the one that stands out to me that I'm surprised you didn't mention, Mimi, was the one we did around Halloween time where we did the Upside Down Disneyland, which is essentially Mimi was all into Stranger Things. We all watched Stranger Things. And we said, well, what if there was an upside down version of Disneyland? And what would that be like? And so we literally went through each land and renamed it and sort of came up with a story around that land and the types of characters you would meet. And I don't know. I thought that one was really interesting and fun to do.
Yeah. Right. I mean, the prep that went into that episode, I think, is what made it fun. Like, it wasn't the actual, like, recording of the episode, but it was, like, just the process of making it, of making the Upside Down Disneyland was so fun.
Right.
We were just, like, laughing the whole time.
And then the ones where we get to meet other people are always really cool, right? Because we've met some really neat Disney friends through the podcast and through Instagram. And, you know, a couple of people have reached out to us and wanted to have conversation with us and kind of like you guys. And that's always really, really cool because, you know, I can barely get my own kids to talk to me sometimes. And then these strangers are emailing us from time to time saying, hey, we'd love to talk to you and, or we'd love to be on your show if you'd like to have a guest. And I'm like, gee, that sounds fine to me, you know? So, and I'm pretty introverted, so it's kind of shocking at first, but then you kind of just get over it. But yeah,
I totally get that. I'm very much an introvert as well, but this, it's nice to be able to connect with other Disney nerds, you know, because I know that you and Mimi are the Disney lovers in your family, but that's kind of it. And Tony and I are kind of the same way, where it's like we have this love of Disney that other people don't really get in our everyday lives. So being able to connect, that I think is like the highlight of doing any kind of Disney podcast, Instagram page, any of it.
I think it's great for me. You know, again, I'll turn 50 this year and I'm not embarrassed at all about my Disney stuff, right? I wear a Mickey Mouse mask every day to work and, you know, I wear Disney t-shirts and, you know, even on our website, you know, there, we have this little thing where you can meet the team. And one of the things that I put in there about me is, and this is the God's honest truth, you know, when I leave a Disney park on the last day, I still like cry. It's like, I don't want to go. Like, I want to stay here. And being, you know, meeting people who really get that much joy out of, you know, what Disney parks and Disney entertainment bring to the world, I think has been really cool.
What were some of so you guys have been a podcast for a year, so you guys started during the pandemic. What are some like problems that what were some of your biggest
challenges
when you first started the podcast?
You want to?
I think like coming up with ideas for episodes honestly was really hard because like it wasn't, nothing about the internet aspect of doing it was going to be difficult because everyone was home and everyone was on their phones all the time looking for new things to get interested in. You know, there was, you know, an entire like segment on Sunday morning about like people who got into baking during the pandemic. And so like people were obviously looking for new things to do. And so, the Instagram, the Facebook and the Twitter, like nothing about that was, challenging, I guess. Like all I had to do was set it up and people were going to find it. And then, so besides that, I think it was like the technical part of doing the podcast. Like we don't know how to use Audition. We still don't really know how to use Audition. That's what we used to record.
Yeah.
And Adobe Audition. And the first episode we recorded, I think, is like 12 minutes long or something because we wanted to figure out like how to use the platform. So the episode, the episode itself is like 10, 15 minutes, but the process of recording it was like 3 hours because we just like set up the fade, set up the intro and the outro and, you know, this, right, that, and the other thing. And that was really hard. And right, it was really stressful because we were just sitting in my room for like 3 hours, right, like trying to figure out what's going on.
Right, and trying to find the right music to go in and out to and all that stuff. It's, yeah, the technical side was a little bit of a challenge because now we have sort of a template that we use. So it's much, much easier. But trying to figure out how does this work and how do I make the sound go up and down? How do I get rid of that stuff in the background? So that was a little bit of a challenge. I'd say balancing the purpose of why we do this and recognizing that there are people who are taking time out of their lives to listen to you. And that, And, you know, as much as we look at each other and say, well, this is really about you and I do kind of feel a little bit of a responsibility to people who listen to the show, because if they're going to spend time listening, I'd like to at least be aware of the fact that entertaining them is important and it's not just she and I talking to each other. So I think finding the right balance when it comes to a topic each week between something that she and I, Mimi and I, really genuinely want to talk about and is something that we think somebody else may want to listen to is a mm-hmm. little bit of a challenge from time to time, you know, because, you know, we chose not to do a news segment for the most part because, you know, I'm not a news expert, so I don't want to be the podcast that tries to outdo everybody else's news segment. Mm-hmm. So I think it was being true to our voice and our purpose and then balancing that with, you know, respecting the fact that there are listeners out there that, you know, their time is valuable. And the fact that they, you know, might spend 30 or 40 minutes a week listening to us ramble on about Disney is, it's kind of a strange feeling that you've kind of have to get used to. So that's been a little bit of a challenge. And then, you know, carving out time and creating a schedule, mm-hmm. you know, because when you podcast with a teenager who has a life outside of this, a big life outside of this with sports and friends and school, that can be a little bit of a challenge.
I don't remember what it's like to have a life, so I'm jealous of you, Mimi.
So you guys do have a very creative show, and one part of the show I really enjoy is the dad joke of the week.
Yes.
Yeah.
Can you give us one of your best dad jokes right now that you've given
putting you on the spot.
One of your episodes?
I can give you. I sort of had one prepared for our episode this week, but I'll give it to you guys for this episode. So,
okay.
Right. So it's one we haven't used yet. We'll start with Mimi. You know, why did Goofy stop ironing his four-leaf clover?
Why?
He didn't want to press his luck. Right.
We don't have a drum roll on this show, but okay. I'm just going to...
Dun-dun-dun.
So good.
Well, Mimi can tell you a little bit about the history behind that, because it's become a thing, but...
It wasn't a thing, like, to begin with. Like, it wasn't... It's not in the earlier episodes. Like, please don't go back and listen to those. They're really bad. But, like... I'm just, take my word for it, they're not there.
The Tron review will go down in history as sort of our, it's like bases are loaded, bottom of the ninth, full count, swing and a miss. Game over.
Right. So like, yeah, they're not there, but I'm not totally sure how they started, but we wanted to do a recurring segment of the episode that would just kind of make the introduction longer. Not like to, you know, bore everyone, but like we were like, hey, like, what's up? Like, I'm Mimi and this is my dad. And then we just rewind to the topic and it was like 2 minutes. And we felt like there needed to be a sense of connection, like, because right. the introduction is the more human part, I guess, before you roll in like to the actual segment. Right. And so mm-hmm. we wanted to create something that listeners could connect with and look forward to, as opposed to just like the episode. Like, there needed to be some kind of consistency in our episode, and that's where the dad joke came from.
And a lot of things just have fallen into place because, I mean, it is a father-daughter show, and it's supposed to be that. And so when I did the first joke and I did the second joke, there was a moment where Mimi wasn't sure she wanted me to do that every week. Where, I mean, because when I'm sitting across from her and I tell her the joke, I don't tell her ahead of time what it's going to be. And mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes she's like, gives me this look like, please stop doing that. Like, please stop doing that. But it's been, I'm glad we do it every week. It's becoming a challenge to come up with one. Sometimes I get inspiration for other dad jokes that are out there, and some I just make up on my own. But sort of a happy byproduct is we include the joke on our website every week when we post the episode. And, you know, people who might be looking for Disney dad jokes to tell their own kids can always just go to our website and pick one. Right. So it's right. sort of been a repository of dad jokes.
It's not that I'm like, please stop. It's just like my live reaction to like a really bad joke. Sometimes they're good, though. I mean,
some dad jokes are bad. Some are good.
And daughter with her dad. Yes,
that's the fun of it all. You know, and I think that really helps show your guys' personality too, and it brings something to your guys' show, because you guys, like you said, you are a father-daughter podcast, and it really, what beats that than a dad joke? And you have the teenage daughter rolling your eyes.
Well, the only thing I promised her I wouldn't do is I wouldn't try them out on her friends ahead of time, so I don't embarrass her, but it's all good. And we enjoyed
doing that. Still time.
There are so many other ways that I will end up embarrassing her. I would save her of that one. That's fine.
Perfect.
I gotta say, I love that you two have this love of Disney and you embrace it and you found something to do together. And I mean, my dad did not like Disney, but my dad and I had hockey growing up, and that was kind of our thing. Like, we'd go to all the hockey games together. And those are just memories that I will always have and always cherish. So I love that you guys are doing this together, because it even like brings it back to me, just like my relationship with my dad and the things I love to do with him. So you bring more than just Disney joy. You also just bring relationships and memories to life for people that are listening to you.
And I think you guys could honestly inspire other father daughters to, hey, you know what? They're doing this together. Why don't we do, you know, it doesn't have to be a podcast or Disney, but let's find something that we can do together. And I think that's really cool too, that you guys are doing. You guys are sending a real positive message to everyone.
Well, thank you. That means a lot. And if it, you know, I think we would just be, I don't know. I've stopped a long time ago trying not to be so surprised by certain things that I hear and get feedback on. But certainly if anyone out there listens to our show and it, you know, does anything to help their relationship with their child or their parent, then that's just fantastic. But that's beyond anything we ever would have wished or hoped or thought that we would ever be able to do. So thank you for that.
Absolutely.
Makes up for that Tron episode, right?
I still hear about that. I was like, this movie is awesome. I remember this when I was a kid, and then we watched it, and thinking this movie's not nearly as good as I thought it was.
It was terrible, and it won an Oscar for costuming.
Yes. You know, we watched Tron recently, I think during the pandemic, and Tony was he's more of the movie nerd, and he's like, well, I can appreciate it. And meanwhile, I'm like, this is horrible. I never want to see it again.
I can appreciate the cinematography for 1980.
Oh, geez.
It's like, what Tron did is, it brought in the editing or whatever, the special effects, but it was so terrible. Like, they were so bad, because I'm so used to, like, the modern special effects, and it was hard to follow the plot, and just all that on top of, like, it just wasn't written very well. It was just an impossible movie to watch. Right. And the whole time, my mom and my brother and I are complaining about it, like, during the movie, right? Like, this movie is terrible. Like, what is the point of this? We're, like, making fun of the characters, making fun of the costumes, and Papa's just sitting there, like, Everybody be quiet.
I'm trying to feel like I'm 12 again. Be quiet.
I'm trying to appreciate the film.
You know, it's really interesting. We end up talking about the Tron episode a lot more than it deserves. And it's kind of like
the more we talk about it, people are going to go back and like listen to it. Like, please don't do that.
Right. I mean, it's kind of like, so
I'm definitely going to.
So, I mean, listen, I mean, I don't know if you or your listeners they'll get this reference, but our Tron episode is sort of like our version of Plan 9 from Outer Space, like the worst movie ever made, but people watch it because it's so bad that it's become sort of this cult following, like an Ed Wood movie or something you may have seen on Elvira, like at midnight, you know, that's our Tron episode. It was like our great attempt at something. We were like, we're going to do a movie review and this is going to be awesome. And it was literally, it's the only movie review we've done, because when we finished, we looked at each other and said, well, we got to get this episode out. And we're never doing that again. Like, this did not work. And we knew it wasn't working
while
we were doing
natural.
It.
It was natural. Like, it was very like candid, and like we did a lot of research and we were like talking about like when the movie came out, like what it did, like what the plot was. And like it was like, instead of a normal conversation where we're just talking to each other about like something ridiculous, it was I don't even know how to explain.
Well, we try to stay positive, and it was an episode that we didn't have a whole lot of positive things to say, and I don't like being that show. I mean, who wants to go on and listen to two people just say bad things about something? And so I was like, yeah, we should stick to things that we can say good things about, and that's what we've tried to do from then on.
I think we could probably try to do like a movie review again, but I don't think it needs to be a whole episode. I think it could be like a segment at the beginning of an episode.
Right.
Be like, hey, like we've watched like whatever Soul and we thought it was really good. We give it like 4.5 stars and then like move on with our lives.
Yeah.
We tried to do movie and TV show reviews and it just, we can't do it. We just, without giving away spoilers, it's impossible for us to do.
Definitely.
And you guys do a pretty good job talking about things like with Falcon Winter Soldier and everything, but oof.
Yeah.
So, how long has it been since you have been to a Disney park?
3 years? 4 years?
Yeah, the last time we went to a park was in Thanksgiving of 2017.
So it's been like 3.5 years.
Yeah, we have friends that live in San Diego, and so we went and spent Thanksgiving with them. And while we were there, we went up to Disneyland and DCA.
Okay, so I have a question for both of you. If you guys could go on 3 rides... right now, any attraction, what are they? Only 3.
You want to do your 3? You name 3, and then I'll name 3.
I think Pirates, Rise of the Resistance, because like I haven't done it yet. And I think...
It's a tough one, no pressure.
I'm thinking of like a roller coaster, but I can't pick which one. Like I can't decide between like Incredicoaster or... Space Mountain.
Oof, that's a really hard one.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think I'm going to go with Incredicoaster because I haven't done it yet.
Incredicoaster is great, especially at nighttime at DCA.
Yes.
So much fun.
Yeah. I think for me, Big Thunder Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
I would definitely want to do that. Pirates, definitely want to do that. And... I was going to say one of the dark rides because, you know, Mimi and I, and we may talk about this later, but I know some of our memories are she and I riding certain dark rides together, which are really cool. But I'm going to say Rise of Resistance also because we weren't able, obviously, that it wasn't available last time we went to a park, and that's one we really want to do.
No, so those would be 3.
No, it's not going to be in my top 3. It'll be.
Wow. Jeesh.
Solid choices.
Very good choices. Okay, so you guys obviously keep up with Disney news. What are some attractions that will be coming out soon to Disney parks that you guys are most looking forward to riding once you guys do hit a park, like a new attraction that they've announced recently? Because there have been a ton of news on new attractions opening up.
I think the Princess and the Frog Splash Mountain reboot. I know there's like a while before that's coming, but I'm really excited for that. I'm also really excited for the Spider-Man thing that's coming to Avengers Campus. I don't know what it's called, but it's like, it's kind of like Astro Blasters, right? Is that not?
Something like that, I think.
Like on the line of like the blasty things. I'm really excited for that.
Yeah. It's going to be web slingers, and I don't know how they're going to do it. Like, I don't even think you have wristbands. I don't know what it is.
If it's like a
wristband or whatnot, and like you shoot webs out of your wrist
so,
pretty much at the screen.
I would say a while back, it's been like eight years or so. We used to live in Northern Virginia, and before we left, we ended up going to Legoland. Was it up there where we went to Legoland?
I have never been to Legoland. I've been to Legoland once.
We went to Legoland, but it was...
I've been to Legoland once, and it was not in Virginia.
When did we go to Legoland?
When we were in Anaheim.
Oh, that's right. And so it had to have been there. Right. So it must have been when we were in California. It must have been 3 years ago then. So we went to Legoland. And they have this...
Okay.
3D, it's the whatever with the Ninjago and ninjas. The technology was terrible. It didn't work. And I think Web Slingers is supposed to be like a much, much better working version of something where you don't have to hold anything, where it knows where your hand is. And if your hand moves, it automatically picks up what you're doing without having to hold a gun or something. So I'm looking forward to that.
No, but side note, I was so excited for that Ninjago ride. Like, okay, I had relatively average expectations going to Legoland. I knew it wasn't going to be like Disney, but I had friends who had gone. They're like, oh yeah, like it's so much fun, like you're gonna love it. And then it was not fun. Like it was just it was like Duplo Land, like not even Legoland. It was like for little kids.
I don't know.
And so I had, but like I was really excited about this Ninjago ride because like I love Ninjago. I think it's so fun. It's like a comfort show for me. And it didn't work, and I was really angry.
Yeah. It didn't work. I'm looking forward to the Ratatouille ride in Epcot. I want to do that. So
That ride's going to be a lot of fun as far as like trackless rides
go. Yeah, we rode that ride in Paris, and I am not a Ratatouille fan, and it was so much fun. So I'm very excited for that to come over to Epcot.
It's going to fit in Epcot really nice too, in the Paris Pavilion. It's going to really it's going to help Epcot out a lot. I think that attraction too, because Epcot does need a lot of help.
They need more rides.
I think Epcot is leaning more towards the ride and attraction, like the ride attraction. Mm-hmm. Just because like when people go to Disneyland and they're either like adults or they're like families, and there's like kind of no in between. And so if you're a family, you have kids and the kids want to do the ride. And so like, I remember not loving Epcot as a kid because there was nothing to do that interested me. My parents were interested in it because it was educational, I guess, to a certain extent. But like, I did not have fun. So I'm very excited to see Epcot kind of become more, I'm going to say this in air quotes, family friendly, just to like give the kids like something to do while their parents are in Epcot.
I remember being a 30-year-old and not liking Epcot. Yeah. So I'm definitely looking forward to, you know, it was lacking that Disney feel for me, I think. And I think going forward, the things that they have planned, that's going to help a lot, where it's like, okay, I am at Disney World. I feel it now.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
And like the Epcot, like the Spaceship Earth is like such a staple of Disney World, but like nobody really likes Epcot. Like they just, you know, it's become this iconic symbol of like, you know, like the giant golf ball, but like Epcot itself is just kind of like 5 out of 10.
Yeah, they're putting a lot of effort into it, though. I think it's going to be, I think when the investment in the new attractions comes to close, the four gates at Disney World, I think the crowd's going to be spread out pretty good, because each place is going to have like a big attraction that people are going to really want to do. So I think with Epcot having the Ratatouille and then the Guardians coaster coming to Epcot, I think that's going to draw a lot of crowd to Epcot. And then, of course, I don't know, every place is going to have sort of a big, I say, a big ticket item. You know, you go to Animal Kingdom and they got the Safari and the Avatar ride, which wasn't even there last time we went to Animal Kingdom. Yeah. That didn't even exist yet.
Oh, you're in for a treat. You guys are going to
enjoy it a lot.
Yeah, all four of those parks are going to have something that is sort of drawing people to it. Hollywood Studios will have, you know, the Galaxy's Edge and Toy Story World area. And so, it'll be good. I think the crowd's going to be pretty, you know, it'll be a good way to spread crowds out there when all that stuff.
Yeah, it's insane to me how crowded Hollywood Studios is now compared to all the other parks. But, you know, when you think about just all the attractions they have now.
All the new stuff,
All the new stuff of Epcot. And Magic Kingdom, getting the Tron ride. I'm sure you guys are at least excited for that. I know you don't like the movie, I'm sure the ride at least looks awesome.
The Tron ride looks so fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think I'll be able to handle that. I'm not a huge thrill ride person, but
it's so weird to me that like Hollywood Studios is like busy now, because like when I went, like the big thing to do there was like Rock and Roller Coaster, and like that's it.
Yeah, but you couldn't even ride it last time.
I was like a child. Right. Like, I mean, we weren't gonna ride it. Right. I mean, I was like 6. Like, we weren't gonna ride Rock and Roller Coaster, but like I remember, like, I don't know, like that's just strange to me that things have changed so much in such a short amount of time.
That's one thing that Hollywood Studios is lacking. They need more, rides, attractions with no height restrictions on them.
Yeah,
true.
They need more all age attractions, because it is more like the
otherwise it shows
the Here's thrill Frozen ride park and the shows. Yeah, and kids don't really do too well in shows.
I remember
not long shows.
No,
right.
There were like character meet and greets to do in Hollywood Studios, because I feel like Hollywood Studios is like where they dumped like their Disney Channel characters, like Phineas and Ferb was over there. But like that's it. Like that's all I remember from Hollywood Studios. All the other shows, like the Disney Junior, Disney Junior at that point. It would have been called like something else. It was like, I don't even remember.
Disney Junior, sit on the floor and watch this for 20 minutes. Which
it was like
my back was hurting so bad.
Right,
why aren't there chairs in this place?
Yeah, it was like Disney Junior, like all the shows, but like it's not like the current shows, it's like the old ones, like the Imagination Movers and like Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, but that's besides the point. All that was in Magic Kingdom, like none of that was in Hollywood Studios. Like, yeah. I don't
know. It's much different now than
last summer. Right. It's like, you'll say Hollywood Studios or Epcot, and I'm just kind of like,
There weren't even magic bands last time we went to Disney World.
A long time ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean, we had, like, our resort card with our name on it. That's how we got into everything. So it was paper fast passes. And yeah, things have changed a lot in a relatively short amount of time.
And I feel like a poser when I talk about like Disney World, because I was so young and it was so long ago and things have changed so much. But like, I have these like very vivid, very core memories of things that happened. So like, I feel like my opinion.
Well, we're true to our experiences, I think, is what the point is. We don't try to speak about an experience we didn't have. So we talk about what we did experience, and you know, some of it's still there and some of it isn't. So.
Absolutely. And I mean, just like you guys, there's so many other people who aren't like Disney locals that aren't, you know, you can't just drive a half hour and be at the
all
parks.
The time, yeah.
Right. So what are some things that you guys do
to get your Disney fix?
Yeah, to get that Disney fix going.
Disney Plus has been great for us. You know, I can watch Donald and Goofy shorts all day. Like that.
Do you like the new animation? Like the new Mickey animation?
Like the new ones that came out recently, or like the ones that like that have a lot of them?
I think the ones in like the last 10 years.
Yeah. I like those. Those are funny. Those are really funny.
We watched all those. We binged watched them.
Yeah, we watched all of them. I didn't like they did like a little limited series one that was running parallel to WandaVision. I didn't like the animation style on that one.
Oh, it's different. I didn't even know it was different animation. I thought it was the same animation.
Yeah, it's different. It's different, and I didn't like it as much, but I do like the more modern ones. I think they're funny, and I don't know. I just really like the art style. I can't explain it.
The only character I'm not a huge fan of in the new art style is Goofy. I like the classic movie Goofy better.
They did Goofy dirty.
Yeah.
They definitely did Goofy dirty new animation.
Yeah, I think I don't know. The character is just, I don't know. It's not funny like it used to be, but other than that, yeah, we enjoy that. But Disney Plus is big, and you know, I don't know, just listening to podcasts has been really great. Listening to other people's experiences and, you know, getting a little joy through them. And, but I think Disney Plus has been the big part for us, and it's been great.
Yeah. It's mostly Disney Plus. When we were kind of going through this like little episode, when we were supposed to go to the park, we would watch a lot of like YouTubers, like YouTube, like POV park stuff.
Yeah.
And we don't do that as much anymore because it kind of just makes me sad because I miss the park. But yeah, Disney Plus is the main source of that, I think.
Yeah. We were supposed to have a, you know, epic road trip to California last summer, in summer of 2020. We were going to drive and we were going to hit a few major league ballparks, and my son and I were going to catch some games, and then we were going to go all the way back to drive all the way to San Diego and then go up to Disneyland for a few days. We were actually going to be there. You know, Avengers Campus was going to be open already, and we were going to do that, and we were going to catch Galaxy's Edge, and so we had it all planned out, and then we weren't able to do any of that. So we're hoping that maybe next summer, you know, we could make the trip we were supposed to make last summer.
That would be great.
Absolutely. I mean, hopefully, yeah. And hopefully a lot more people eventually can get down to Disneyland experience Avengers Campus as well. Cause I know people are really itching to experience that. And I know a lot of people are upset that it's only for California locals to start. So
But it's better than it was a month ago. So
for sure,
you know, we're happy that, you know, all you guys out there in California can get back, and hopefully you'll be able to get a ticket, you know, and
That's going to be the hard part.
I took the day off of work. I already had a half day planned because Tony and I are now both fully vaccinated. So we're going to go and visit my parents for the first time in a year. So we're super excited. So we're driving to Vegas to visit them, and I already had half day off. And then when I found out the 15th was when the ticket and reservations went on sale, I'm like, I'm taking the full day off because I'm going to need to be in this online queue for the first half of the day anyways. So.
Yeah. I mean, I know how it feels. I mean, I don't know exactly how that's going to feel, but it's kind of like there are a couple of times I've gotten up early for like Disney merch dropping on Shop Disney, and you got to hurry up and get in the queue to get it because it's limited edition. And
yep,
then you get booted out, and you know you.
I feel like it's almost just as bad. And it's like, right? Nope.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Yeah,
we've had like random people on our Instagram, like they'll message us, like, "Are you get like? Can you believe how long this line queue is?" And I'm like,
"Yeah,
dude, I don't even know what you're talking about. What's on sale right now? What? Okay, cool.
I don't know what we were trying to get on Shop Disney. It had to have been something to do with Mandalorian because it was limited edition or something. I can't remember what it was. And
I think it was the pins.
Yeah.
The
some 50, kind of
like the Star Wars.
Yeah. The Star Wars. That's what it was. It was like yes. For the May the 4th thing last yes. year. And yeah, there was stuff we went. Yeah. That's what it was. It was the key, the Star Wars collector's key from last year on May 4th. And we were like refreshing the screen. And then it said, you got it. And it was in my bag, and I thought I checked out, and it said, oh, it's all sold out, you didn't get it. So I was like, what happened? I thought because I got a confirmation and it said, no, you didn't get it, and it was a mistake. And then I went back in later that, and I think I was online 10 hours refreshing the screen throughout the day, and finally we got one. And then when they ended up sending us two, it was like the original one actually did go through, like from 8 hours earlier. And I was like, wait a minute, I got billed twice. And then we had two of them. And I was like,
okay. I remember that Star Wars drop. That was a mess. And I was just trying to get some of the Starbucks mugs. And that was like impossible. Now, of course, they've got them everywhere. At least last time I was looking for them, they had them again. But it was just such a mess.
Yep. Yep. But, you know, I guess that's, unfortunately, I think that's, I don't, in a strange way, part of the charm that it is kind of difficult, I guess. I don't know. I mean,
oh, yeah, major FOMO if you don't get it.
That's right.
If you're missing out, right?
That's right.
Right, then everyone puts theirs all over Instagram, and it's like, well, thanks.
Yeah, I need one now. Right. I will pay $1,000 for this $10 item. Not really, but.
Put on your Disney Visa card. Instagram has made Disney so much money.
Yeah, put on your Disney Visa and earn the credit and then respect.
Right, exactly. And then put it towards a vacation.
Yeah, I bought more Disney stuff using the credit I've earned from the card that I use to buy other Disney stuff. So I'm literally like paying twice for some of this, it seems like, but not really.
Absolutely.
Guys, what can we expect in the future, in the next coming year or so, from Disney Assembled?
Wow, that's a great question.
I think more of the same, just like better. I mean, like, I don't know how else to put it. Like, I don't think we're changing, going through any drastic changes anytime soon.
Yeah, we mm-hmm. set a few goals for year two. And
like, I know that sounds really mundane, but yeah.
No, not at all.
We set some goals for year two of the show. And I mean, part of them are just, you know, nothing we have direct control over. Like, we'd love to have X number of people listen to the show in the next year and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But I think the stuff we have control over would be, we'd like to do more with our YouTube channel. Because we do have a YouTube channel, and we still have that wonky URL because, you know, we don't have 100 subscribers yet. So we'd like to do more with YouTube. We enjoy doing YouTube live, which for some reason takes hours to render and upload to YouTube. But we'd like to do more stuff on our YouTube channel. It's just really, it's hard to carve out the time for that. And editing video is very different than editing podcasts. So mm-hmm. I'd say that would be something to look forward to. And we'd love to get back to the parks and do some, you know, some on-site reporting of what we're experiencing so that might help people.
But absolutely. Yeah, I mean, definitely. YouTube, like, I don't think people realize, like, a lot of work actually does go into podcasting.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, you know, we have, like, quick half-hour, 40-minute episodes, but a lot of work actually goes into setting everything up, recording, editing. It takes a lot of time, like, you know, I was telling Danny, you know, maybe I'd like to get into YouTube, but then I remember, like, well, this podcast takes a lot of our time already. And it's like, can I really sit down and edit and upload YouTube videos?
Lord knows he's going to try.
Right. Well, the equipment is different, right? So if you don't have good lighting, then you know, what do you do with lighting? And then, you know, it's, you know, I don't know. It's just very different. To me, YouTubing feels more of a job, and podcasting for us feels more like a hobby. And so we're, you know, like I said, Mimi's 15. And so we're And I have a, believe me, a job. I spend plenty of time working. And so we're always a little cautious. We don't want to add another job to our lives. We want to keep it fun. So exactly. we'll probably dabble in, and that's why YouTube Live is really good for us, because there's not a whole lot of prep. And when we do post it to our channel, we really legitimately don't edit the video. Like, so what you see as a recording of a live session was from the moment we hit record to the moment we hit stop. And I don't know, it's because I'm just not that worried about it being perfect. And
right,
that way it's fun and genuine and sincere, and you know, people can enjoy it any way they like or not.
Yeah.
So
absolutely. All right, guys. So it is now time for my favorite part of the show, hit or miss. So I'm going to name 10 attractions. Each of you are going to tell me if you think this attraction is a hit or miss. And if it's a miss, I want to know why. I want to know why, what you dislike about this attraction.
Good.
Are you guys ready?
Ready. Go for it.
Space Mountain.
I think it's a hit.
Hit for me.
There's a little hesitation there, Troy.
It's not a miss, but it's not okay. One I have to go on.
Not one of your favorite mountains?
That's fair.
No, it's not one of my favorite. It's probably my third favorite mountain.
It's my least favorite mountain. Yeah. So. Matterhorn bobsleds.
I think it's a hit.
That's a hit. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I think it can be kind of, I was going to say like messy, but like it can be uncomfortable, but I think the ride is fun. I
always enjoy a good realignment of my spine. So makes me, I can get on there, and if I can get over the cramping in my legs when I get out, I'm good.
It's really hard for me to get out and go in, actually. And okay, so sorry.
It's entertaining to watch, well, though.
I am not tall, so I'm like 5'8", but
okay.
It can be a little challenge, but I thoroughly enjoy the ride for the nostalgia, and just the experience is great.
Mm-hmm. Peter Pan's Flight.
I think it's a hit if you can get past the wait time.
Yeah.
Like, I think your opinion on that ride is, I think anyone's opinion on that ride should start with, like, if there was no wait time.
Right.
You know, because, like, the ride itself, I think, is it worth the 2-hour wait? No. But I think it's fun.
It's a hit
for
me.
So it's a hit.
It's a hit for me. And here's my thing on, mm-hmm. You don't go to Disney parks and expect to not have to wait in line. And I want to be enchanted. I want to have a Disney experience. And Peter Pan's Flight gives me a great Disney experience. So I don't like waiting in line as much as the next person, but it's one of those things where if I want to ride it, then waiting in line is part of the price you pay to have that experience. So,
I mean, yeah. And the reason the line is so long is because it is a great ride, and it does give everyone that Disney experience. All right, let's go to the next one. It's a Small World.
I don't know. I'm sixes and nines on this one. Some days I'll think it's a hit. Some days I'll think it's a miss.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say hit the same way. It feels the same for me on the scale as Space Mountain. I don't have to do it, but if the line is short, I will do it. I'll want to do it because it's just part of being at a Disney park. You need to do it.
Have you guys been on it during the holidays at all?
We went on it during that Thanksgiving trip that we made. Yeah.
Okay. Thanksgiving weekend. Yep. Okay, good. Haunted Mansion.
I think it's a hit.
Hit.
Yeah.
And I like the holiday overlay there. When we went last time, it had the Jack Skellington overlay, and that was fun.
I enjoy the Jack Skellington overlay a lot, and a part of me wishes Haunted Mansion would shift to that permanently, but like that kind of defeats the integrity of what Haunted Mansion is.
Yep.
Like, I love the classic, but like the Jack Skellington is so cool. Like, it could be its own ride, like on its own.
Yep.
I totally agree. Haunted Mansion is probably like my favorite ride at Disneyland. Like, it's just always been that number one for me, but I love the holiday overlay. If I had to choose between the two, I don't know what I would choose.
And I think the mansion at Disneyland, I know the experience is probably not much different than the one at Disney World, but I think the positioning of it in New Orleans Square makes it feel like a better attraction. there.
True.
I grew up in New Orleans. That's where I was born and raised. Mm-hmm. And so I really love that area. So yeah, it's a big hit. Love Haunted Mansion.
Yeah, there's like actually Disney World version, I feel like, is a little bit longer. There's like probably an extra minute in there where you go through like a an library. Extra
scene, yeah.
Mm-hmm. A while ago we did an episode on like attractions we wanted to see get brought to the park, and I said I think Nightmare Before Christmas should be brought to Hollywood Studios. They should have like just its own attraction, since Disney World doesn't get the overlay,
right?
And like the line would be like Halloween Town. And then when you get on the ride, you kind of go through different doors with Jack, and
that would be cool.
That was just kind of my.
If only.
Then it ends maybe at Christmas. I don't know.
So all the Imagineers that are listening are now feverishly taking notes.
It would be a hit attraction. So many people would go on that ride.
I know.
Yep.
Winnie the Pooh.
I think it's a hit.
Yeah, it's a hit. Yeah,
that's because of my nostalgia though. Like if you take that away, it's just another dark ride. But like, I still think it's worth it.
Yeah, it's fun. That one. Yeah.
And at Disneyland, it's typically not a really long wait. No. You can usually get on within like 20 minutes. So it's like, all right, I'm good.
We did Splash Mountain. And because like they're right there, like they're literally like across the like little walkway.
Mm-hmm.
So we did Splash Mountain. And we were like, okay, Papa, like you have to go wait in line for Winnie the Pooh. And he was like, so we got over there. And we did Splash Mountain. We had fast passes or whatever. We got off the ride. And Papa was sitting there. We're like, well, what the heck? Like, why didn't you get in line for Winnie the Pooh? He was like, the wait time is 5 minutes. I could have been like four times at, like waiting for you guys. Right. And you're like, oh, okay. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Toy Story, Midway Mania.
Definitely a hit.
Okay.
I'm going to say... miss.
That's because you have to wait
yes.
in line.
Yes, we finally got a miss.
That's
yes.
because you have to wait in the line.
Right. I'm the designated line holder.
If you didn't
at
have
times,
to wait in the line,
right.
You would think it was a hit.
So
we just send you to do that because you
and
know
I
do
can
other
play
things.
I mean, we played that game essentially on the Wii system. Mm. It's almost the same exact game.
Yeah, but you're like
I mean,
in it.
I don't know. That's one that I really am fine not going on, especially with the 2 hour. 2.5 hour wait times that
I think
sometimes
the wait,
I came up
with, yeah. I don't think it's worth the 2 hour wait. I don't understand like that much of the hype, but it's a fun ride.
I'm happy walking up and just watching Mr. Potato Head do his spiel.
His dad jokes.
Leaving. Yeah. Right. Let him do his jokes. Watch that. Okay. I've seen this. It's good. And
yeah. Definitely. And yeah, like really, it's a fun ride if you don't have to wait. Like if we can get a fast pass for it and don't have to wait, I really enjoy it.
I love
yeah.
the ride, but waiting in that line, it gets so hot.
And there's nothing to look at in the line either.
Right.
It's a really boring line queue too, which I think. And then when you actually get to the ride, it's very, there's not much to it.
I enjoy it. It's a little, it seems like it's a little fast too. It doesn't take very long to get through it once you're in the ride. I mean, I enjoy it, but to me, it's kind of because of the weight and because it's something I can do if I wanted to, basically the same thing at home on a video game system, I can skip.
Gotcha.
That's fair.
Star Tours.
I really like Star Tours. I think it's a hit. I think it's worth doing. You don't like Star Tours.
It's
like
a miss for me.
Other reasons.
Yeah, it's a miss for me.
Aren't you a Star Wars fan?
I love Star Wars. I don't like motion sickness and throwing up. So
all right.
I'll give it to you. I can't do the 3D giant motion simulator thing. That just I tried it. I did it with the kids and I had to close my eyes and it took me like 40 minutes to recover from that ride.
I thought it was so fun. And
I love the story. I love what they're doing, but I can't do it.
Okay.
I love Star Tours, but Troy, I'm going to tell you, stay off Millennium Falcon then.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to have to do it once. I'm really, I can't avoid it.
You have to do it once. You just have to
just be the guy in the back holding the button down.
There you go.
just get the boring job.
Do it once and then plan to have
you be the engineer. Gee, thanks. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh gosh. Being the engineer is the worst.
But I don't know. I'll have to do it once, but yeah, motion simulators for some reason really just get to me.
I don't think it's that bad actually, but I will tell you when you go to Disney World, Flight of Passage, you might have an issue on.
Yeah. I'm seriously considering next time we go to the parks, taking motion sickness medicine in advance so that I can.
That's a good idea. Did you get sick on Soarin'?
No, Soren I was fine with. I enjoyed Soren.
It's just when it's really like bumpy, quick.
The bumpy, and yeah, the bumpy, the jerking me around, and you know the quick movements from side to side. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we typically, okay, we don't time it well. Like we don't pay any attention to when did we eat last. So let's, it's like, gee, I just had a big greasy burger and fries. Let's do store tours. Like, no.
Great idea.
Yeah. It's like milkshake was a bad idea. You know, and it was, yeah, star tours. Right? So yeah, not for me.
Well, this ride's going to be more your level. Autopia.
That's a miss. Yeah.
Really? You guys don't like breathing in gas fumes and no, just riding around? No.
We're in Texas, but I'm all for like replacing that with something better for the environment and everything else.
If Autopia was more like go-karts, I think it would be more fun. But you're on a track and mm-hmm. it doesn't work, and the system doesn't work very well, like the little car. So yeah, overall miss.
Yeah.
And you can't bump people. Like you get in trouble if you bump people.
I used to enjoy that when I was younger. I used to enjoy bumping into people and seeing the cast members. I know I was a jerk kid. I was not
like they yell at you for bumping into people, but like make the brakes impossible to use.
Yes.
So here's my way to keep the ride but make it better. This is mm-hmm. what I've been thinking of. A, make the cars electric so you're not breathing in the fumes. That would be one.
Yes.
But secondly, if they had like a VR helmet that made it look like you were going really fast and you had like a little fan blowing on you, kind of like a Soaring would feel like, or Flight of Passage, but it's outdoors in a car. So you felt like you were going fast because of the VR, but you were really just going around. I guess it would defeat the purpose of having scenery because you wouldn't see any of that. But I don't know, some kind of VR combination with an electric car might make that
all right,
a little bit better.
My idea to fix Autopia.
Okay.
Get rid
Burn
of it.
It.
And just get rid. Yeah, there you go.
Get rid of it and put in test check. Yeah,
that's perfect.
Yeah. Fix Autopia by demolishing it.
I mean, really, I feel like that whole area in Tomorrowland and Fantasyland just needs a complete revamp. They need to change all of it.
Agree. You know, if they, I don't know. I don't. We don't want to go too long. We'll do another episode where we talk about how we would want to fix Tomorrowland.
There's so much that we could do.
Yeah, Tomorrowland. Has
Write
so
that
much
down.
Potential.
Write that down in our notebook. So there we go. Tomorrowland, fix it.
All right. Last ride. Kind of
Autopia's neighbor.
Yes. Finding Nemo Submarine Voyage.
You should see his face right now.
Oh, no. That's a big mess.
Y'all were also talking about this on the episode where Danny said she didn't like Toy Story. And I was like, yeah, exactly. Like, it's why is the water dripping on you?
Yes.
And like when you're in there with like a crying baby, like first of all, I hate being in Target with a crying baby. That's part of why I don't really like toddlers, because I was like screaming, like be
but
quiet.
You do babysitting.
Yeah, for like babies that sleep.
For money.
Yeah, for money.
And for money and for sleeping babies. If they're awake and they need to be entertained, I'm out.
Like for money. But like when you're in there with a child and it's screaming, even if it's not even crying, it's just screaming from like excitement over seeing Nemo. Like it makes me want to open the capsule, throw it out, and then like leave the ride.
Right.
You know,
throw out the baby.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, Mimi, you are my hero right now.
It's not the
loving
it's
screaming. So annoying.
The screaming like, is one thing, but it's like
the echo too. It's like,
well, the other thing is if it's a child in a diaper. And you don't know what's going on in that diaper, and you're stuck in that tube.
True. With them.
Oh my gosh, you guys are making really valid points.
So
I hate it even more.
We actually put a design on our T Public store. It's like Nemo submarines, and I changed the lettering. It's like me no submarines. It's like
we did that ride solely because it was like 20 minutes before the park closed and there was a like 5 minute wait time. So we were like, you know what? Like it's on the way out, or like not on the way out, but like it was right there and we didn't have anything to do and we didn't really want to leave yet. So we did the ride and so it was us and this other family and there was like a child, but luckily the child was fine. And my mom looks up and like water splashes on her and she goes, why is it leaking? And I'm like, that's a very solid question. Why is it leaking?
My theory is it's not leaking. It's part of the immersion that the Imagineers have put in that makes you feel like you're in an old submarine.
Like if you look at it from the top, if you look at it from the top, like it doesn't actually go like underwater. Like there's still like a whole section.
When I was young and at Disney World, I enjoyed it when I went on it for the first time because it was still 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea in Disney World when I went on it for the first time. But I don't know, part of our disenchantment with that ride is Mimi and I actually have a great father-daughter memory of the Nemo attraction in Epcot. And we were like, oh, look, it's Nemo. And it wasn't nearly as enchanting as our experience in Epcot on that ride, which is essentially like the Little Mermaid ride at DCA.
Yeah, it has the shells.
So, but yeah, we're out. We're out on the – I don't think we'll ever get in those submarines again.
The submarines are so funny to me because like – not only is like the experience just like not super great, but like the projection of like the actual fish, like the actual like Nemo part of the ride isn't that cool. Like if it was still 20,000 Leagues, excuse me, sorry, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, and like you had like a bunch of creepy things like pushing your submarine around and like, you know, shadows of animals.
Right.
Like that would be like if it was a scary ride, I would be more into it.
Yeah.
Well. But like, it's just kind of this like la-di-da, like whatever. I want them to take the submarines and do what Universal did with Jaws, because the Jaws ride at Universal is terrifying. Like, I don't know if y'all have seen it, but like the animatronic shark is so scary and it's like foggy. So you can't really like see everything. So you don't really know what's going on. Terrifying. Yeah. I want them to make it. They made
That's so off-brand for if Disney, they, though.
If they made the Nemo submarines scary, I would like it more.
You know what would make that ride scary? If it broke down while you were in it and you were stuck in there for like,
oh my gosh,
that would be worse than getting stuck in Small World.
Oh, yeah. I think they need to have like half the capacity in there because it's just, it's hard to even breathe. It's like, oh, too many people.
I'm so glad that's one of the attractions not opening up at Disneyland. Yeah. When they open the parks back up.
You know, I don't even know the last time we went on the submarines. I think it was, I had a friend that lives in Washington, D.C. visiting us. So this must have been like 5 years ago was the last time we went on it just because she had never been to Disneyland.
Right.
And she wanted to go on it. Otherwise, we would never go on it.
Right. And like the wait time is so long for no reason. It's not that great. You're going to leave it disappointed. And the wait time the next morning was like 2 hours. It's like 2 hours for what? If you're going to wait 2 hours, go to Peter Pan.
Disappointed and with crying babies that Mimi's going to throw out of the submarine.
That's great.
Guys, thank you so much for coming onto the show. This was a really fun time. Tell our listeners where they can find you guys at.
Yeah, so you can find us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, all at Disney Assembled. You can also send us an email, disneyassembled@gmail.com. But all that information and more is on our website, disneyassembled.com.
Yep, so go to our website, disneyassembled.com. Every place we exist, I think, is there. So, yeah, if they want to find us, that's the place to go.
Guys, thank you so much for coming on the show. It was awesome to finally have you guys on. Big fan of your show. And to my listeners, go over, listen to Disney Assembled, listen to their views on so many Disney products. They have great topics they talk about. If you want to know about what Disney characters stink, you want dad jokes, check them out.
And just a really fun and uplifting and positive podcast. We're so glad that you guys were able to join us. As always, if you have not subscribed to Mouse Park Insider, please hit that subscribe button. Make sure that you leave us a review if you haven't, because that is the best way for people to find our podcast, continue to grow. Find us on Instagram, Mouse Park Insider, and TikTok. We got some videos going on there. And make sure you find our friends Disney Assembled on all platforms. Thanks, guys. We will see you next week.